Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
We are just 9 days away now from the start of the NFL draft. The Bengals are on the clock, and as we take a look at the first round, they got the top pick, the Dolphins. So the most first-round selections, they have three. As we say hello and welcome to our SportsCenter special, Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 4.0. Clearly, Mel Kiper is with us. So, too, is Adam Schefter and Jim Nagy. Let's get right into this one, Mel. In your 4.0 that was released today, you have three quarterbacks going in the top 10, four in the first round. But the order here may surprise some folks. Mel, who do you have first to the Bengals?
Joe Burrow, Wendy, it's an easy call. They really have no other way to go. Chase Young didn't perform up to the level expected in those final three games, registering no sacks. Had he done that, maybe it would have been a discussion, but certainly Joe Burrow, the year he had, only one game below 71%. That was the national championship game. He's at 63-3 with five touchdowns and no picks. I said all week, I don't remember a quarterback who could ever say at any point this year, you would never think he was anything but an elite player. He didn't give you any cause for concern ever this season. From start to finish through the process, it's got to be Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals, unless they get, I mean, and then you could talk to, about what teams would give up. It would have to be a ton of draft picks. And even then, I would be hesitant to give up an opportunity to get Joe Burrow.
Having said that, Mel, really, you have not budged on this from mock to mock. This has been pretty much the same situation. So is this a sure thing at this point?
You know, I got to believe it is, Wendy. I mean, if you're in the division with Lamar Jackson, which you are, and you got Baker Mayfield, and you know Pittsburgh's going to figure out the quarterback after Big Ben, and then here you are, an opportunity to get a great quarterback. Who are you going to get if you don't get him? Where are you going to go? If you move down, is there a guarantee? If you move, say, to five and let Miami get him, the two would still be there at five. Maybe the Chargers would jump up and get him. And then you'd lose the top two quarterbacks. So, again, maybe they love Justin Herbert. If they do, they'd be guaranteed Tua or Herbert. So, again, you think about where they are with quarterbacks. If they think they're all close enough, then you would think about moving down. If you think Burrow is head and shoulders above the rest, you got to take him number one.
Adam Schefter, let's assume that that's in fact what they do. Is this a good fit for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Wendy, Joe Burrow is going to wind up going number one, most likely to the Cincinnati Bengals, right? It's hard to imagine another scenario, as Mel had alluded to, that another team could come up with enough ammunition to go up to number one to go get Joe Burrow. And so you get a guy right now who basically is from Ohio, whose girlfriend lives in Cincinnati. Zach Taylor's waiting to build his offense around a quarterback as talented as Joe Burrow. It's as good a fit as the Bengals could hope to have at this point in time with the number one overall pick. So, yeah, it makes sense. And, yeah, he's going to be the number one overall pick no matter who makes it. And, yeah, the overwhelming chances are it's going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. And so you can begin Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, learning the Bengals offense, and getting them up to speed in a division that includes all those other good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I'm with Mel. You're waiting for the wheels to come off all season with Joe, maybe to have him have one clunker game in there. Didn't happen. He's the cleanest guy in the draft in terms of the tape you see, and then the kind of guy he is. So spending time with him at the Manning camp last year and getting to know him through the process of recruiting Joe for the Reese's Senior Bowl this fall, I mean, he's got the it factor. He can own a room. Guys gravitate to him. So he's got all that. The only knock against him that some people have brought up, like, what about his junior year? Was he a one-year wonder? Well, we went back and looked at the 18 stuff, and what really happened was I think a lot of people undersold Joe's junior stuff, and they got better around him at LSU this year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was on the bench last year. Jamar Chase didn't play a lot, and they weren't very good on the offensive line. So they got better around Joe. He really played better as a junior than myself, and a lot of people gave him credit for a year ago.
All right, Jim Schefter, thank you. Mel, let's look now at the next quarterbacks to come off the board. Take us through five and six.
Yeah, five's now Justin Herbert. You think about people saying, well, he's got a low ceiling. I don't know what you're looking at if you say he's got a low ceiling. First of all, you don't have all the talent he has to have a low ceiling. Is there a bust factor? Sure there is. Yeah, you talk about Oregon, there were times where he looked like something was missing, but got down with Jim Nagy the Senior Bowl week in Mobile and had a great week. Great game, was the MVP. We know he's got physical and athletic ability to be great, and certainly the intelligence and players at Mobile were gravitating to him when they said he wasn't able to be the leader. So I think you look at Tua, the injury is the only factor in the durability moving forward as to why I put Herbert at five and Tua at six with the LA Chargers.
So, Mel, is there any other reason? Because there is a switch with two off the board now at third, and we know your mock drafts about what you're hearing, not what you right. believe should happen. So why the switch there?
Only by what you're hearing. And then Jim and Adam can speak to what they're hearing. Everybody's got different views and opinions. That's why you talk to people. You're not going to talk to them, listen to what they say, and put it in a mock. Then why do this exercise? So it's not about what I think or what my ratings are. This is what you're hearing. And every team is not going to always be thinking the right thing. Maybe Miami's just playing games here and letting names get out there. And who knows? We'll find out. That's the whole illusion of the draft. And that's why that's the element of the draft that makes it so much fun and so entertaining, is we don't know until those picks are made. But I think right now what you're hearing is Herbert maybe to Miami at 5. Like I say, Tua, there's some think he's going to fall further than 6. I just felt like I can't believe that's going to happen. I think it would be a great fit, but there are some that feel he could drop out of the top 10. We'll see come Thursday.
All right, with that in mind, then, Adam, do you like Tua to the Chargers?
Listen, the Chargers need another quarterback for the future. Phillip Rivers is gone, and yes, Anthony Lynn does love Tyrod Taylor and believes in him as a starting quarterback, but you want to begin to build the future if the right guy is there, right? Also, keep in mind that they drafted Easton Stick last year in the 6th round. They like him, too. So people are forgetting that. But if the right guy's there, you can't turn that up. You need to solidify your franchise for the future, especially moving into a new stadium in Los Angeles to capture that market. Yeah, the Chargers, I think, could go quarterback. Tua would make a lot of sense at this point in time. And back to Justin Herbert for a second, Wendy. If Justin Herbert had been in the draft last year, he would have been a top 5, 6, 7 pick. He would have been off the board very early. There were teams last year, 2 I can think of that I know, that loved Justin Herbert last year. And so it didn't happen. He went back to school. He's going to come out this year. And it seems like there's mounting buzz that he's going to wind up being the second quarterback picked in this draft.
And you heard Jim Mel reference the Senior Bowl. I'll ask you how you saw Herbert improve from working with him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I'll echo what Adam said. You know, there's a lot of love for Justin Herbert, and it's not just, he's not surpassing Tua just because of the injury. There's a lot of people that put a lot of time into this thing that think Justin Herbert's tape is better as well. He didn't have the supporting cast Tua had at Alabama, but there's so much to like about this guy. So when you talk to people around the league, they see so much upside. That's what's funny, that there's a narrative that there's not a ceiling there. I mean, I talked to a head coach the other day that called him a big ball of clay. They feel like they could mold this guy. He's a 4-year starter. He didn't play with a lot around him this year. That's the narrative that no one's talking about, is that he really carried that Oregon football team to a Pac-12 title and a Rose Bowl title. And you saw it down in Mobile. He passed that test, like Mel talked about. He passed the off-the-field test with his teammates. He passed the on-the-field test. He was good from the minute he got out on the practice field. Unlike Daniel Jones a year ago, who kind of had to work into the week and peaked in the game, Justin was good right out of the gates during the week. So there shouldn't be any hesitation. If you're a fan of a franchise and your team's talking about taking Justin Herbert, you should like that pick.
Let me ask you this, Jim, going back to Tua for just a minute. How much buyer beware would you anticipate because of the injury history?
Yeah, there is a big buyer beware, Wendy. There's no real way around that. You know, I've seen Tua play 8 times over the last 2 years live. He's a phenomenal player. He's got great instincts. I hear all that stuff. But, you know, it's a roll of the dice. No matter any way you slice it, it's a roll of the dice. And you go back to, like, when Brett Favre came out. He was failed on his medical by the Green Bay Packers. Ron Wolf wants to make a trade for him with the Atlanta Falcons. The medical people wanted to block that trade. And Ron said, no, he's going to be our guy. And he plays 280 straight games or whatever it is, and is the all-time Iron Man. So it is a roll of the dice, and it can work either way, but whatever team takes Tua is a roll in those dice.
Well, we take a look now at the top 15 picks in Mock Draft 4.0, and Mel has 5 defensive guys that rule this group. And Mel, take us through these names. We'll start with the Redskins, that number 2 overall pick.
Ohio State Buckeyes are going to dominate, and the Redskins are going to be dominated by Buckeyes. Quarterback Dwayne Haskins moving forward. Hopefully he develops into a big-time quarterback, and certainly Chase Young in a division with Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, and the emerging Daniel Jones. You need that elite pass rusher, and Chase Young would be that for the Washington Redskins. Then you go after Chase Young, another Ohio State Buckeye, and Jeff Okuda going to the Detroit Lions. I think Okuda is a shutdown, lockdown corner, a complete player. He goes to the Lions. Isaiah Simmons, they need that all-around linebacker. They added Blake Martinez, a tackling machine. Now you finish off that improvement at linebacker with Isaiah Simmons. The offensive tackle's tempting, but it's too early. Derek Brown's been penciled into the Carolina Atlanta Panthers all along. They need that interior presence. Let some of those guys go. He is a kid, plays all out from the start to the finish of games. And they moved him around and took advantage of some of that versatility. C.J. Henderson to the Raiders. Remember, they picked again at 19, but they need a cornerback opposite Trayvon Mullen, nice second-round pick last year out of Clemson. And C.J. Henderson, a real good cover guy, which can pack it a little bit better. But for the Raiders, that's a need area. And like I said, they picked again at 19, so they could go maybe for a quarterback at that spot or certainly continue to help that defense.
Mel, thank you. We'll say hello now to Jeff Okuda, who is, as you just heard, the first quarterback off the board. Jeff, how's that feel?
It feels great. I mean, I've always watched this show growing up, and now to see my name among one of the top prospects, it's just pretty cool to see how everything comes full circle.
Oh, there's no question. Mel and Todd, by the way, have been pretty consistent with you. They have you to Detroit, as you probably just heard, at number three. Do you like that fit?
I like seeing number three in my name next to it. So, I mean, I think it's just a blessing to be here.
I think that's a great answer, by the way. Now, tell me about this. Your nickname is Free Jefe, and you've told us before that this is your alter ego. So tell me what that means. Who is Jefe?
Yeah, Jefe is just a swaggier version of Jeff. So pretty much I'm Jeff throughout the week, but then when it's game day, it's time to be Jefe. And you got to let him loose.
All right. So what's the swaggier version look like? When you do let him loose, what happens?
I think you see on these highlights right here what it looks like perfectly fine. Just playing with a lot of emotion, getting everyone riled up.
All right. Now, you said before that Ohio State is BIA instead of DBU. That's best in America. So I tell you what, I'm going to give you the platform. You've got the stage. Tell me why. Tell us why you're the best in America right now.
I'm the best in America because if you look, all you see is consistency. So every time you come on the tape, you're going to see consistency. And honestly, I feel like I haven't even peaked yet. So starting from my freshman year, I think that I've been on a tremendous climb, and I'm excited to see how far I can go.
You know, Jeff, it's such an interesting situation that we're in right now, and this draft process has been different for you than really for any of your predecessors. And I know it's probably not how you imagined it would be, but, you know, what's it been like managing this new environment and these new limitations?
It's been tough. It's been a challenge. But for me, it's just about getting routine going. So I always talk to my trainer, Clay Mack. Every chance I can get, he sets out a plan for me, and then we just execute it. And at the end of the day, I know that people have it way worse than I do. And I'm just really thankful for everyone on the front lines right now and fighting against COVID-19.
Your former teammate, Chase Young, projected to go just ahead of you in Mel's mock, number two to the Redskins. How is that relationship helped you or aided with this process?
Oh, it's been a great help just because me and him are kind of going through the same process right now. We can lean on each other. And on top of that, we're just ultimate competitors. So I think that right now we're always trying to find ways to push each other, even though we're not in the same state.
Now, you wrote a letter to the Players Tribune this offseason. It was about your mom who passed away in 2017. And in draft interviews, you mentioned that you couldn't wait to brag about her. What have you said? And then what, in that case, does being drafted mean to you?
I just always talk about how her perseverance through her battle with cancer kind of passed down to me. And whenever something is too, I feel like something is hard, I just think about her battle and I just get through it in that way. And I think just being drafted will just, it kind of just completes part of the journey. I know that I really wanted her to be there, but I know that my aunt, her family will be there, and it'll be a really great night.
Jeff, everybody's trying to keep busy and stay in shape in different ways. What have you been doing?
Oh, I've been getting it in. So,
tell me about it.
So in my apartment, we have a parking garage, and I'll go to the top floor with I'll just run up those hills. And it's just a grind. You kind of like getting it out the mud right now.
All right, Mel Kiper, are you with us? I think Mel is with us. So you have
I'm
Jeff.
Here, Wendy.
Okay, good. So a perfect opportunity. First, Mel, I'll ask you any words of wisdom.
It's been a lot of fun, Jeff, watching you play at Ohio State. It's fun for us as talent evaluators watching a corner who likes to be physical and will tackle, support the run and tackle after a catch, not just be worrying about trying to be a cover guy. So all I can say is, Jeff, all the best, man. Wish you nothing but the best. Go out and become Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Peterson, and have one whale of an NFL career.
Thank you so much.
Jeff, do you have any questions for Mel?
Okay, I do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I do have a question. Why is Damon Arnett not considered one of the top DBs in the draft right now?
He is, Jeff. He's in the second round right now. There are some that think he could sneak into the late first. To play the way he did, you know, with the arm and still be out there making plays, had a heck of a career. So I have him going in round two of this mock, and he won't have to wait too long when I think Friday to hear his name called.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeff, listen, best of luck. We will be watching, of course, the draft now just 9 days away. It'll look a little bit different, but the result will be the same, and you will hear your name called. A bright future ahead, I have no doubt.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Mel has four offensive linemen going to the top 15 picks in this year's draft, and since 1967, there's only been five drafts with at least four offensive tackles taken in the first 15 picks, the last one coming back in 2013.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Well, we've showed you the first three quarterbacks taken in the first round, but now it's time. The fourth and final quarterback in round one, Utah State's Jordan Love. But Mel, before we talk Love, let's backtrack for a second. How do we get to the point where Love comes off the board? Take us through 16 to 20.
Yeah, and right prior to this, Wendy, from 8 to 15, you're going to see offensive tackles and wide receivers come off the board. Then at 16, I think it becomes a little bit of a defensive run that begins with Clavon Chaisson from LSU, a pass rusher to Atlanta. Dallas could also use a Clavon Chaisson, but I think Dallas is Xavier McKinney's way. Outstanding safety, all-around safety from Alabama. Miami gets the best available player, defensive tackle, Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. Then at 20, Jacksonville with Kenneth Murray. Moore talked about him yesterday, moving up draft boards. And in between Kinlaw and Murray is Jordan Love. We had the Las Vegas Raiders taking C.J. Henderson, cornerback Florida. They'll be tempted to take Henry Ruggs, the third wide receiver Alabama, if he's there. And he could be. I'm just going on a hunch and just a gut feel that maybe John Gruden and Mike Mayock roll the dice and feel like we're going to see if this arm talent of Jordan Love can translate and allow us to maybe outscore Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City.
All right, Mel, then that's the primary reason. Why else 19 to the Raiders if we circle back to Jordan Love?
Yeah, that's it, Wendy. I think you look at where they are with Derek Carr and with Marcus Mariota. They seem fine. If they're fine, great. But to try to get that upgrade and try to go with somebody that can maybe get you to be able to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, John Gruden loved Patrick Mahomes coming out of college at Texas Tech. You see what he's done in the NFL. Well, he won a Super Bowl. So I think he knows in that division, I got to be able to beat Mahomes, okay? And I got Drew Locke, young gun in Denver. And you know the Chargers are going to be looking at a young quarterback, maybe Tua Herbert. So, again, I think to keep up with them, maybe in 2-3 years down the road, get an upgrade because he needs a transition for a year. So it's Derek Carr's team right now. Mariota's there as insurance. But I think 2 to 3 years down the road, like I say, Jordan Love, I think he's going to land somewhere in this area. I decided to go with my gut and go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, Jim, I know you're a believer in Jordan Love. Why is that?
Yeah, I am, Wendy. I think he's got the highest ceiling of anyone in this class, and he's really a hard evaluation. Of all these guys, he's probably the most difficult because of the discrepancy between 2018 and 2019 tape. So, you know, if you're in my corner where we're a believer in Jordan Love, he lost 9 starters this year, new coaching staff, and, you know, a lot of people are knocking decision-making right now because his interceptions went up from 6 to 17, but I'm more of the mindset that, you know, he was trying to make plays. He's a competitive guy. He's trying to win games for his team, and he just didn't have the supporting cast around him. So you talk to teams in the league, and I've had multiple coaches tell me, picture what this guy would look like in LSU's offense with all those people around him, or picture what this guy would look like in Alabama's offense with all those weapons around him. So in terms of arm talent, it's all there. The great ones make things look easy. Jordan Love makes a lot of things look easy on a football field. And with the Mahomes comparison, I really truly think that, you know, here we are 3 or 4 years removed from Mahomes' draft, and, you know, we're saying, how did that happen? How did he slide? I think the same thing could be said about Jordan Love 3 or 4 years from now if he falls to 19 to Oakland.
Well, Adam, Vegas already has two quarterbacks, as you heard Mel mention. We know Carr and Mariota. So clearly an interesting pick if this happens, and it's not out of the realm.
Well, listen, I think there's a lot of people who feel like the Raiders want a wide receiver in round one. There's a lot of people who feel like they need a defensive back in round one. But what's interesting to me when you bring up Jordan Love at this part of the draft, if he lasts that long, and I don't think he will, but if he were to last that long, now you got a group of teams in the back of the draft who could potentially be in the market for a quarterback. The New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, teams that people aren't really talking about in connection to these top quarterbacks, they're all sitting there. Does one of them value Jordan Love in a way that they move up and go get him, that they go grab him at that spot in time, and Jordan Love winds up in a great spot with a really strong organization as opposed to going at the top of the draft?
Are those other positions options then, Mel?
Yes, I think there's no question with the Raiders. When you think about where they are with C.J. Henderson, who work opposite Trayvon Mullen, you get him with the first pick at 12, then at 19, Henry Ruggs III, a Justin Jefferson, LSU, one of those wide receivers would certainly look good in a Raider uniform. I just felt like when you try to do a mock first, you try to get a guy in there in a range. I had him at 12 and mock 3.5, put him at 19. So a 12 or 19 with the Raiders would be a possibility there. You're a never-never land, though, with that fourth quarterback, because trying to find a position with a team that you feel comfortable with after you get past the Chargers, knowing that Jacksonville is kind of committed to Minshew, Carolina has Bridgewater, where do you go? You don't want to drop him into the second round or put him in the late first, so you got to put him to somebody that makes some sense. And I thought from the Raiders' standpoint, John Gruden always says, I never handpicked that first-round quarterback. Now he would have a chance with Jordan Love.
Jim, does four quarterbacks in the first round sound about right to you?
That sounds about right, Wendy, but you always got that possibility of a team trying to get back into the first round to get that fifth-year option on the quarterback, which we've seen done in the past. I was in Seattle when we made a trade with the Vikings, and they came up and got Teddy Bridgewater to get that extra fifth year on the rookie contract. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. We saw Baltimore take him late in the first. So, guys, one guy that's really hot right now among coaches in the league, quarterback coaches that are on all these Zoom calls with these guys, is Jake Fromm from Georgia. He's as good from the neck up as anyone in this class, probably better. His eyes are as good or better than anyone in this class, so he's won a ton of games. He's been durable. I mean, people are knocking him a little bit about arm talent and the physical stuff, but the same things were said about Drew Brees when he came out. And I'm not equating Jake Fromm to Drew Brees right now, because Drew is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but there's a reason why Drew lasted in the second round, and there's a reason why San Diego moved on from Drew, you know, and it took him to land in New Orleans. So Jake Fromm's a name to keep an eye out. Someone sneaking into the end of the first round and taking him there.
Jim, you think that somebody could trade to the first round for Jake Fromm, that Jake Fromm is worthy of a first round pick?
I do. I think he fits for the Patriots. I think he fits for the Saints as well. I think he fits both those organizations. I don't know about a trade-up scenario. I don't know, but there's two teams sitting there in that back half that he fits for. Again, he fits everything both those teams want to do. And if you've got a nice succession plan in New Orleans, if that's in place, have him sit behind Brees for a year. But this kid, people have really discounted this kid. He's a winner. He's got all the intangibles. You know, the arm talent's underrated. He can rip 18-yard outs. I've seen it many times. This is a guy, again, I think the league is valuing a lot more than the media right now, and when you get on Twitter and see these things.
All right, gentlemen, let's take a closer look then, with that said, at the skill positions in this draft, this mock draft 4.0. Mel has six wide receivers going in the first round. That would be tied for the second most in the common draft era. The first wideout off the board, Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama at 9 to the Jags. He's the top-rated wide receiver, according to Scouts Inc. Then Oklahoma's C.D. Lamb. He goes 13 to the Niners. Lamb averaged 21.4 yards after the catch, which ranked third in the FBS in 2019. Justin Jefferson and his LSU record, 111 receptions, has been rising up the draft board. Have him landing at number 15 to the Broncos. The Eagles had the second fewest receiving yards by wide receivers last season, and so Mel has them drafting speedster Henry Ruggs III at 22. Mel has the Vikings taking Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. Ayuk had the second most receiving yards in the Pac-12 in 2019. And finally, at number 30, T. Higgins comes off the board, and he will join, according to Mel's mock draft, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And Mel, someone, as I mentioned, just rising up your mock draft, Justin Jefferson, what do you hear about his draft stock?
I'll tell you what, Wendy, he is rising. And the receiver I left out of here, Denzel Mims-Baylor, had going early second round to the Indianapolis Colts. He could be in the late first. But I think when you look at a guy like Justin Jefferson, the production increase with Joe Brady's influence on that offense, he eliminated the drops. He caught, he was a guy along with Chase, Jamar Chase, for Joe Burrow. And certainly, I think the consistency catching the football and then the combine where everybody said, oh, he'll run a 4.53, 4.56. He ran a 4.43, 6'1¼, 202 pounder, very athletic. I think for the Denver Broncos, it would be a nice pick. And think about Brandon Ayuk, Arizona State. He's kind of hot right now. As the Minnesota Vikings need a receiver, Diggs is now in Buffalo. They need a wideout. It would make sense for the Vikings to look at Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State at that pick. And if Henry Ruggs III gets down to the Eagles, they could use him. The key to that's going to be the Raiders. Do they take quarterback or do they take a wide receiver? I almost went wide receiver Ruggs III there, but opted to go with Jordan Love instead.
Adam, six names for wide receivers in the round in the first round. Does that surprise you?
Well, no, it doesn't, because you're talking about a position that is so deep in this draft, Wendy. And I think the only surprising part of six is that there's so many good ones available later on in the draft, rounds 2, 3, 4, 5. You can get starters later on in this draft that some teams might be a little bit more apprehensive about taking them earlier on. But look, a great player is a great player. And if Henry Ruggs were sitting there for the Eagles, I'm sure they'd be thrilled at that idea. I can't imagine that Henry Ruggs is going to fall down that far. These receivers are slated to go early. But there are so many good wide receivers in this draft. It's the hallmark of this draft, the depth of the receiving class. We've heard it before. We'll hear it again. There's going to be a receiver for almost every team in this draft.
Jim, would you have changed around the order, or do you agree with the way the fallout is structured?
Well, I think Ruggs is the top guy, but what I'll say about this class is I think that Lamb and Judy and Ruggs have been kind of, you know, put up there as they're the clear top three. There's not a lot of drop off to this next group. Mel's got up there and he brought up Denzel Mims. This is a really deep class. And I think what Adam said about the depth, the intriguing part of draft weekend for me will be, when does the run start on receiver, right? So, you know, when do you really have to take one? You can pass in round one and address another need and come back and the second or third round and get a Chase Claypool from Notre Dame or Van Jefferson from Florida, who, you know, look at last year's draft, Terry McLaurin sitting there at number 76 to the Redskins. And I think Van Jefferson is the McLaurin of this draft. He's dealing with a little bit of a foot issue right now, but both were great. The best route runners of the Senior Bowl last year, both the fastest max speed that we had at the Senior Bowl last year. Both were on special teams, both great gunners. So you love the makeup of the guy. So that's what you got to, if you're a team, the strategy part, if you're in a draft room is, okay, where can we get one? Where can we still get one? Do we have to address it in round one?
Jim, you mentioned Mims. You saw him in the Senior Bowl. What was your assessment?
Yeah, Denzel is a kind of a hard eval sometimes in the Big 12. They're playing a lot of soft coverage out there. You don't see him separate a lot from man coverage, the press stuff. He comes down to Mobile. He faces a ton of press coverage. He gets open consistently all week. You can see him run all the routes. He's got a huge catch radius. And then he goes to the combine and he runs high 4.3s. He's 6 foot three plus, 207 pounds, and he's a 6'6" three cone, which was the best three cone at the combine this year, which is incredible change of direction. So that's why you saw that in the routes in Mobile. So Denzel Mims probably came into the Senior Bowl week as probably a third rounder for most teams, and now like Mel said, he had him in the first, and I'm hearing from a lot of teams that's where he might end up going. That late one, early two is kind of the sweet spot for Denzel right now.
We take a look back at the last 10 picks of the first round, featuring six defensive players and the lone first-round running back. Mel, take us through a few of the notables here.
Exact Bond, Wendy, linebacker, Wisconsin. Versatility was what Bill Belichick likes, and Bill Belichick can get Bond at pick 23. You mentioned the corners, A.J. Terrell Clemson in New Orleans. Jalen Johnson, Utah to Minnesota, will be hole fillers. Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety slot corner, going to the Dolphins. And then Patrick Queen, what a pick he would be for the Ravens. They have seven picks in the first four rounds. Eric Acosta, the great GM, does, and he'll make those count. And then think about Cesar Ruiz with Seattle, that interior offensive lineman. Started at guard, then center the last 2 years with bolster that offensive line to help out Russell Wilson. And DeAndre Swift finishes out the first round to Kansas City, Super Bowl winning Chiefs with Andy Reid getting that complete running back in DeAndre Swift out of Georgia.
Adam Schefter, you like that pick for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Listen, there aren't many players that have averaged 6.6 yards per carry during their time in the SEC, and DeAndre Swift has been an effective running back. It's always a great spot to take a running back where really there are high grades, but the position's been devalued. You put DeAndre Swift on a team like the Chiefs, and imagine that offense, it'd be even more potent and formidable than it already is, Wendy.
Let's go back to the Patriots for just a minute, Adam, because there is a little news today on Zach Bond, and Mel has Bond going to the Patriots.
Well, Mel has him as the third-rated linebacker in this draft, and it turns out that when Zach Bond was at the Combine in Indianapolis, he tested positive for a diluted sample. Now, he's telling teams, because he notified all 32 teams, that it was because he drank too much water before the weigh-in in preparation for the weigh-in at that point in time. And I think he weighed 243 at the Senior Bowl. Jim could attest to that. He was something like 236 at the Combine, trying to put on more weight. Said he was drinking a lot of water. The test came back with a positive test for a diluted sample. Now, the interesting part here is that under the new collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated in mid-March, early March, this does not count as a strike. And so at this point in time, Zach Bond enters the league with a clean record. If this had happened under the terms of the old CBA, he would have had a strike against him, would have been that much closer to discipline. That doesn't happen now. And that's why I think teams will look at this and say, that's interesting, but we're not going to hold that against him. And I still think he's a late one, somewhere in the two pick next week.
Let's stick with New England for just a minute, Shefty. They do not have a second-round pick as it stands right now. Could you see a situation where the Patriots try to trade out of the first round to maybe get another quarterback in round two?
Wendy, the one thing that we've seen with the New England Patriots in the draft is anything is always possible. Trading back, trading up. I know people haven't brought that up scenario, but why couldn't they trade up? You package more picks, you package a player or two. I think that's possible too, just like moving back. The one thing about New England, it never stays pat. It always moves around, and I would expect the same thing will happen in this particular draft.
Totally agree, Mel. And if New England does opt for a quarterback in the first round, where's the best fit?
Well, I think when you look at New England, you hear rumblings about, and Adam going to test this, Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Oklahoma, formerly of Alabama, Pittsburgh Steelers is where I had him going in round two. But I think you would trade. I couldn't give him at 23. I don't feel right doing that. I still have questions about Jalen Hurts as a starting quarterback in the NFL, so I'm really like him. Like I said, Pittsburgh could be a possibility there. But at trading out of round one and going back, maybe a possibility there. We're going up. Adam mentioned Jordan Love. If he slides a bit with New England's opinion of him, Justin Herbert, I think he's going to go in the top five. So we'd have to go way up to get ahead of Miami to grab him. So right now, I think the Jalen Hurts talk is most interesting when you talk about the second round. Like I said, I didn't project him in round one. I just can't see him going that high.
We talked about the Chiefs, but Jim, what about that other team that we saw in the Super Bowl, San Francisco, their second pick of round one?
Yeah, if I had any bone to pick with Mel's first round here, it would be 13 San Francisco. I think they can use that pick they got from Indy to take Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle from South Carolina, replace DeForest Buckner, who they traded away to Indy, and then come back at the end of round one and get a guy like Brandon Ayuk. You know, they hit last year on Debo Samuel, playmaker. They could do it again with Ayuk, but great job on the first round, Mel.
I just don't think Ayuk will be there for the 49ers at the end of the first, Jim. And the 49ers do need a receiver. But I'm with you on Kinlaw. I had him going to Miami just because he was the best available player at that point.
All right, round two of Mel's Mock Draft 4.0 featuring another six wide receivers, two more quarterbacks. So, Mel, give us some notable names here in round two.
When you look at the Giants, they don't get the offensive tackle. When they take Isaiah Simmons, Austin Jackson, USC, developmental tackle would be there at that particular point. If you look at the Chicago Bears, they need help, obviously, for Foles or Trubisky. Get Cole Kmet, tight end, Notre Dame, best tight end in the draft. And K.J. Hamler, fast guy, great in space. Got to be more consistent catching the ball, wide out from Penn State. And I think you look at Adam Troutman from Dayton. Jim Adam down at the Senior Bowl. Adam Troutman's a kid out of Dayton. Dayton Flyer program, heck of a receiving option. You get T. Higgins, Clemson, in the first round wide receiver, then Troutman. Now you've helped out Devontae Adams. You've helped out Aaron Rodgers. And certainly Baltimore with Jalen Reagor, TCU. Excellent punt returner. He would be there with Hollywood Brown to give Lamar Jackson yet another weapon. And then Devin Duvernay. Think about the Rams needing a receiver like Duvernay from Texas and a running back like Clyde Edwards-Hilaire from LSU. All of a sudden, Jared Goff would have two nice options. Running back Edwards-Hilaire, an all-around guy, and then Duvernay, who's flying up draft boards, a wide receiver out of Texas.
Flying up draft boards. Everybody likes to hear that, just 9 days to go. Jim, who is, if anyone, missing from this list?
Yeah, we're really getting into the sweet sweet spot of the draft right now. When you rounds two and three, talking to a lot of GMs, they want to get out of the first in stockpile picks in these two rounds because there's the thought out there that you can get the same player in the 40s and 50s than you probably could in the 20s. So that's what teams are trying to do. And this is a really good list of players, immediate starters. But one guy I didn't see on the list was Michigan outside linebacker Josh Uche, who I thought was the second best player in Mobile on the defensive side of the ball behind Javon Kinlaw during our game week. He's a guy that had 15 and a half sacks over the last 2 years. You know, was kind of a part-time player 2 years ago behind Chase Winovich of the Patriots and Rashawn Gary of the Packers. You know, was a first-round pick last year. And to see what his numbers look like and the percentage of snaps compared to those two guys really jumps off the page. So to me, Josh Uche somewhere in the second round is going to be a great pick for someone.
We like all that Michigan talk there, Jim. I'll say this. There are a couple of names there that Mel brought up. Austin Jackson, Jalen Reagor. The more you talk to teams, the more you sense that those guys have a real shot at going in the first round of the draft. Austin Jackson, I know there's going to be that run of tackles at the top of the draft in the top dozen or so picks where we're going to see four offensive tackles off the board. Some team isn't going to get a player like Austin Jackson, and I think he's going to fall out of the second round into the first round. Go back into the first round, Mel. And Jalen Reagor has that speed, of course, I think that a lot of teams are going to be drawn to. I think Jalen Reagor will surprise people and wind up being a one. That's my sense.
And Adam, did I hear you have a question for Mel?
Mel, if you had to have one quarterback here, every year we seem to see one quarterback slide down, whether it's Jimmy Clausen, not to bring up a sore subject, Dak Prescott, anything like that. Who's the one quarterback you think this year who could be sliding?
You know, I think Jacob Eason into the second round is where I'm going to Indianapolis, but there's a lot of mixed opinion on Jacob. He had a great first quarter, and then the fourth quarter, really the second half, his completion percentage went from 73 down to 58, 59%. So I went with Indianapolis as the heir apparent maybe to Phillip Rivers, but people that thought it may be late first, I'm thinking more second round for Jacob Eason now, Adam, after all said and done.
Thank you, Mel.
Jim, who you got?
Yeah, jump back in on what Adam was saying. I don't see another big cliff. Like I said, at wide receiver, I didn't see a big cliff. I don't see a big cliff at tackle either. So Austin Jackson, Josh Jones from Houston, Sadiq Charles, LSU. Those are all guys at the end of the first round, early second. You can see a lot of tackles come off.
Adam, what are you most looking forward to? And don't say Michigan, guys. You have to pick something else.
Well, I just think the question of Tua is going to be something that has been following this draft for an awful long time. It'll be the story again next Thursday night.
Understood. Gentlemen, thank you. Just 9 days away, the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock. See you tomorrow.